Fine. So let's try to wrap up Macha'a today and then do a few days of Purim. Thursday might be Shirkali again. I'm not 100% sure. What? Well, I was talking to our kids, but I'm not sure what we want to do. Meaning, we were talking about doing a panel on methodology of learning, like with me, him, maybe Shmuel David. I'm not really sure because people were asking for it last year. It's the fast day. So, right? It's the fast day. So we're just trying to figure out. It might be a little bit of a different morning, like a Purim share and a panel. Right, rather than the regular share, or not, we don't know yet. Whatever. Okay, so we'd left a few issues here on Macha'a. There's a lot, obviously, in those sugyot, but let's touch on some of them. And the people who are sick from the vaccine, they'll recover. Maybe they'll listen to share, maybe not. I don't know. Okay. So. Let's deal with a few small questions here, right? One is the doubtful chazaka question. So, what would you say, right? If you have a case of a safek chazaka, who would you say gets the benefit of the doubt? What would you think? Oh, so what do we mean? Okay, so let's look at the Rush, right? So let's look at the Rush. If you look at the Rush, Gimel Vav. You always forget how much Rush there is on this perek. There's 77 halachot on the third perek. But the Rush writes, right, perek bet.
Sorry, is this
almost
the first sheet?
No, it's in the back of the Rush. Right? So the Rush writes, yeah, okay. How the damar lechavrei my vod b'hai beta. If someone says, what are you doing in my house? Chomer le minach zavinte v'dari be shnei chazaka. Amar le shuke baroi avoy. Right. So he says, I lived there. I bought it from you. I was there, say chazaka. And then Andrew tells Rami, I was away. I was in the fields, right? We didn't read this Gemara inside together. That you read it in Seder. He says, I was away. That's why I didn't protest. So Amar le v'ha itli sade dechol. But I have evidence that 30 days every year you came. Said, look, I was away, and 30 days a year I came back local, but I just spent the entire time in the marketplace. I had no idea what you were doing. I was so busy, right? I make my entire parnasa in 1 month a year, and the rest of the time I learn in a... It's a very specific case, fine. And then he says, he said, I spent 11 months of the year in the far ends of the earth, and there's nobody there. There's nobody travels there. There's 11 months a year, they close the airport. Right? 1 month a year, I come in, and all I do is do business all day long. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Avin Inish, to call Platon Yom Entar Bishukei. Chazaka, Rava says that's plausible, and therefore it's no chazaka. Right? This is from the Gemara. But now the Rush says, the yesh mivin raya mikan. Some try to prove from this halacha in the Gemara, she'im ha'me'arer amar lo hayiti b'midina kol otan she'loshanim, that if someone claims I wasn't here for all 3 years, Sheikh Zakzabo, that you established Chazaka, Ne'eman. So then Andrew is believed. Vitzare ha-machzik la-viraya. So the squatter, Rami, has to prove to Andrew that he bought it, right? Or Shahayev Medina, or to prove that he was local, such that his silence proves something. The near Eli and the Rush says, I believe she'en ra'ayam mikan. I don't believe this. This is not approved. The efshar shayadavar yadua shayabushuke baroi. Maybe we're talking about a case where everybody knows that Andrew was away. The yoter nira she'en sarach laviraya kevan shezeh zik bishofi shaloshanim. He thinks the opposite is true. The benefit of the doubt goes to the machzik, to Rami. And often the chazaka is heard even in other countries. And Andrew needs to prove he didn't hear, or the machad did, whatever. So what do you have? So you have a machloken. Now the first shita is, just so you know, I didn't give it to you in Rabbeinu Yonah himself, but the first position is what Rabbeinu Yonah claims.
Even if you're there for like just a month, it's conceivable that you still wouldn't
come. Let's just see what we have here, right? So you have is, right, based on the Stugya, right, this is the, right, the Stugya and the Vlamid, of Shuka Barai Hafei. So you have this, right, you have this Machlokes, that Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's the first day I quote in the Rush, that calls man shalonit barer lanu be'edim shahaya imam dina kidei she'imuta levim chor ena chazaka. If you can't prove that Andrew was here to protest, then the burden of proof remains on Rami. The Rush says the opposite. After 3 years, the burden of proof shifts to Andrew, to the Moche, right, to the original owner, the Marakama, the original owner. Okay? So, right, so what does that, right, so what does this depend on? Right, what do you think this depends on? So, if you look at the Ktos, where the Ktos takes this up, and this was on the source sheet number 5, he says, I'm not leaving much, I'm going to go Gimel, B'taima de Harosh, Mishum de Chazoka Nishma'at Merachok, V'havale Chazaka Brura. Ela, Lefi Shehamecha'a Eina Nishma'at, Mishum Hachi, Tzaricha Me'ar'er, L'haviraya, Shahaya b'makom rachot shu kimo micha'a. Aval hacha shetoein amir arer lo ayiti yodeh shekarka zu sheli. Im kain, hava lechi saron b'chazaka. Ta chazaka in nishma'at el lebailim shechokin asadem im kain vaday tzarech levarer achilato. So what does the Rush, what does the Ktos say? The Ktos says something very sharp. He says, there are two types of sveikot. Possibility one, there's a suffix whether the chazaka ever happened. Possibility two, there was definitely a chazaka, but there's a suffix whether the chazaka worked.
There was no chance
of, right, whatever it is, there was no chance of macha or whatever, right? So he says as follows. If the chazaka definitely happened, meaning Rami definitely squatted for 3 years, and there's a suffix whether the information got to Andrew such that it would elicit a macha'a or not, in that case, the burden of proof is on Andrew. And the person who remains in the land is the mashlik, is Rami, not the marakama, not the original owner. But if there was a suffix about whether the chazaka ever happened, so then, obviously, the burden of proof would be on Rami to prove that his chazaka happened, and the land would de facto go back to Andrew, to the Marakama. So what's the difference? So what's the logic? Right? What's the logic of the Rush? Right, the logic of the Rush is clearly that what? Macha'a, that chazaka stands without macha'a. Right? Meaning, chazaka is what it is. Macha'a can undermine it, but it's not definitional to it. Meaning, if he held the Rabbeinu Yonah, which obviously he doesn't because he's arguing with Rabbeinu Yonah, right? But for him, chazaka isn't created because someone wasn't moche, because If that was the case, then a suffix whether the chazakah happened would be legally equivalent to a chazakah whether there was a potential for effective macha'a. They would be the same. Because if you think macha'a, or the lack thereof, creates chazakah, so then a suffix whether there was a chance for an effective macha'a is essentially a suffix whether there was ever a chazakah. He clearly doesn't hold that. He holds that chazakah stands by itself, and macha'a has the possibility of undermining it. But either he holds, as we've talked about, that chazakah is muhzakut. It creates, it right, by living there, it creates a hold in the land. And then you have to undermine it with macha'a. Or he thinks that simply staying in the land is itself a raya that it's yours. Macha'a can undermine that. Right? Or he thinks it's a takana. I mean, he doesn't. But you could defend this with any of those models. The point is that any of those models would say chazakah stands by itself. It's not created because of the lack of macha'a. It is what it is. And therefore it makes a lot of sense. If you know there was chazakah, you just don't know whether macha'a was effective or not. So then the burden of proof is now shifted from the machzik to the marakama. And the given is that it stays with the machzik, with Rami who was living there, away from the marakama. Because you know that the chazakah was created. The question is, was it broken? So therefore, the given is now that it's Rami's. Because the Rosh clearly holds that whatever you think macha'a is, it doesn't create chazakah. It can break chazakah. But it's not essential to the definition of creating chazakah. And therefore, after 3 years, there is a chazakah. And now the only question is, can you break it? But the chazakah by itself is enough to shift the ownership or the burden of proof, right? Whatever, to make the status quo. All those formulations that we saw to Rami, and therefore Andrew has to prove. If Andrew wants to say, aha, but I didn't get the chance to break it because I didn't know about it, which is like a loophole in the rule, so then he has to prove it. Rami doesn't have to prove anything. Right? If Andrew wants to undermine the chazakah you created, so then that's fine. But he has to do it. But Rabbeinu Yonah, so if you ask me, what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? I would say the easiest thing to say is... So I would have said that since we know that Rabbeinu Yonah thinks that chazakah itself is created by the silence, right, I mean, the chazakah is actually right, macha is definitional to chazakah. Meaning, chazakah is not 3 years of living there, but it's 3 years that did not elicit a response. But macha is what gives the 3 years, or the lack thereof, really, is what gives the 3 years there its evidentiary quality. It's not just living there. Living there is not enough. It's living there in such a way that it's provocative, that it should elicit a response, but it doesn't, that for Rabbeinu Yonah is definitional to chazakah. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, if you can even show why Andrew wasn't moche, not because it really wasn't his, but because he didn't hear about it, if there's even a possibility that's true, so then your chazakah is meaningless. Right, because the only thing that makes the status quo that Rami now owns it rather than Andrew is the fact that he sat unprovoked, or sorry, on his provocation went unresponded to for 3 years. But if you can show that it wasn't a provocation, because Andrew never heard about it, then it's not a chazakah. It's not a chazakah without a macha'a. Because if macha is definitional to creation of chazakah, meaning it's the unresponded to provocation that creates the chazakah, so if you're not sure that a provocation was created, just so you know a chazakah happened, if you don't know that there was a provocation, and the provocation and the lack of response is what creates the evidence, not simply sitting on the land, but the silence, so then if I can explain away the silence, I'm back at square one. And square one is that the person who owns it is the Marakama, the original owner, i.e. Andrew. So that's how I would have explained Rabbeinu Yonah, because that's Rabbeinu Yonah l'shitato. Reluchensin here notes that theoretically you can explain Rabbeinu Yonah, or at least this equivalent position, in two ways. Right? He says, one, is maybe he holds that the machzik always has to bring a proof. And I think the reason you would say, meaning he really thinks that the status quo is always with the marakama, and the burden of proof is always on the machzik. The logic for that might be what I just said, which is that if chazaka is merely, right, is eliciting a lack of, eliciting silence rather than a response to provocation, so you're saying without the provocation, the assumption forever is that it belongs to Andrew. It's just that if Rami manages to provoke him for 3 years and he says nothing, it switches. But that means that there's an equivalence between chazaka and macha'a that make it that Rami always has to prove that it's his. That's possibility one. I think that's the most likely. Alternatively, says it could be that Rabbi Yonah agrees fundamentally with the Ketosis Chiluk, which is that there's a difference between a suffix in the Chazaka, which is intrinsic, and a suffix in the Macha'a, which is extrinsic, right, external. He might agree with that, but he might hold, well, I don't know which one it goes with what I said, right? Maybe the same thing. But maybe actually the second one's more what I was saying, right, is that it's just that because he thinks chazaka is so internal, because of what we just said, a lack in the chazaka, in the macha'a, or its potential, is the same as a chazaka. Right? That's really what I would say. I think the second formulation is more what I said. Right? Is that he agrees there's a difference between internal and external. He just thinks that a suffix in whether the macha'a, I don't know actually know what the difference is. No, you know what, I'm going to say, look, conceptually you could say one of two things. Right? One is that he thinks there's no difference, that the burden of proof is always on the machzik. Right? The second is to say no. In theory, he could imagine that the burden of proof might shift from the machzik to the marakama. It's just that because he thinks macha'a is so central, a lack of provocation is a lack of chazaka. That's really what I'm saying. I think that's the second, right? I think that Rabbi Yonah l'shitato thinks that definitional to chazaka is not eliciting a response to a provocation. And therefore, if there's any suffix of whether there was a provocation, that's enough to destroy the chazaka. Okay, so that was the question of suffix that I wanted to deal with. Let's see, what other questions did I put here that I wanted to deal with? Right, okay. Related question. This is what I put in 7. Is what happens if the chazaka simply wasn't heard by the marakama? I'm sorry, other way around. The macha wasn't heard by the squatter, by Rami. Meaning, you're not in different countries. There's no objective excuse. Right? So far we've been talking about objective excuses. Right? The shuke varai. But now I don't want to talk about objective excuses. I want to talk about simply, we know that Rami never heard. There's no good reason why he didn't hear. He just didn't. I don't know. We can testify to the fact that Rami spaced out for 3 years consecutively. I have witnesses that even though Andrew lived next door to Rami, Rami successfully ignored him for 3 years, not intentionally. He just, combination of eating the kiwis, learning with such asmada that he didn't hear anything, and watching Netflix, and panicking about what he's going to do for Pesach, you know, whatever. Combine all those factors. So we have evidence that for a full 3 years he just didn't know that Andrew was kicking and screaming, and you know, we know he was wearing sound-canceling headphones every single time he was outside and anywhere near Andrew. Not intentionally. Just bimikre. It happened. Rami's like, I'm not that spacey. I object. I object to that classification. I object. Yeah, yes, Rami.
This isn't nothing personal, Rami. This is just there's nothing personal. Yes.
I don't really recognize
French cases as being
cared to.
Okay. So what would we say here? So let's see. So if you look. So, okay. So what do we say? So Tosfos. So let's see. So look. So Tosfos says in Daf Mem, right? It's one line, so I'll just read it to you. But Tosfos says in Daf Mem, it's like the Tosfos starts Lama Tam and Bet, and then it goes on to Daf Mem. So he says, Afilo yitbarer lanu shelo shama hamachzik macha'a. Mehani levatel achazaka. Tosfos says, too bad. Even if we know 100% that Rami never heard it, doesn't matter. If there's no objective reason why he shouldn't have heard it, he just didn't hear it, so it breaks the chazaka, that's all. Rabbi Yonah says the same thing. However, the Rambam might not agree. Might not. It's not clear, but the Rambam says in Ochotoyin V'Nitan, Mipnei she'omer lo chavercha yesh lo chaver, v'chavero yesh lo chaver, v'chazaka shehigia elecha hadavar. Right, the Rambam, when describing the Gemara's phrase of why it's okay that you stay in front of three, because you have a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend, or whatever, right? Chazaka shehigia elecha hadavar. We are, right, there's a chazaka. Not the same chazaka we're talking about, but meaning there's a presumption that Rami heard it, that the squatter heard it. Now, what does that imply? Imply. Doesn't say explicitly, but implies that the reason that the chazaka works is because we don't believe you that Rami never heard. We assume he did, but in theory, conceptually speaking, were it to be the case that we didn't know Rami, were we to know that Rami never heard the provocation? Sorry, not the provocation, the macha, the response to the provocation, then the chazaka would not work. Now, what so conceptually explain to me. I know you like Rabbeinu Yonah, so tell me. Why do you like Rabbeinu Yonah?
Okay, because it just seems about a general trend in halacha where, like, you know, people make more French cases.
Okay, so you could, so one possibility is what Rami is saying, is just to say, look, this is a general machlokas, which is, do we take into account exceptional cases, or do we set up halacha formally? Right? So Rami says, look, this has nothing to do with chazaka. The reason to say it works is because halacha is a set of formal rules. Whatever the reason is, it is. And you come up with some crazy exception, that's not how halacha works. It's formalized. And if you want to argue, we say, it's not formalized, it's based on certain psychological realities that create evidence, and if those psychological realities don't happen, so this isn't a rule, it's a description of reality, it's assumptions that make about reality, right? So that could be the machlokas, right? Is this, in the end of the day, a formal rule, and therefore we just don't care about the exceptions, or no, it's evidence, and evidence is not formalized, evidence takes into account the reality on the ground. That's one possibility. The other possibility, though, is to say, no, look, what's the difference? Again, as we've been saying over and over again, how do you view macha'a? Right? So, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, remember, the fact that Andrew is silent is what creates the chazaka. Right? It's the macha'a, the silence is what creates the chazaka. But if that's the case, if there wasn't silence, does it matter that Rami didn't know about it? No, because if you think that what creates the chazaka is, or if you think the role of macha'a is to show that Andrew doesn't, that it wasn't provoked, and therefore it isn't his, so then as long as Andrew said it in such a way that it's legally recognized, meaning, whatever you think that is, in front of two witnesses, in front of three, however you want to say that the, whatever you define as the proper response to provocation, if you know that Andrew did it, it doesn't matter if it technically didn't get to Rami's ears. If he did it publicly, That means he did it in such a way that it was expected to get back to Rami, which means that Andrew sufficiently broke our assumption that he was silent. Right? And if that's the case, he wasn't silent. The fact that Rami didn't hear is not our problem. If Andrew protested in such a way that Rami should have heard, that shows that Andrew wasn't sanguine about the fact that... I'm just looking at your eyes. It's like English word that I'm not sure I know. Right? Sanguine. Right? It's like calm. Okay. Like mabsut. Okay? What? Is it calm? I have no idea where it comes from. It's an English word. It means like okay with, like, does it, whatever. What?
I think that's one of the four humors.
Okay. It's like, in like modern Hebrew, something like mabsut, which I think is from Arabic, right? Which is like, I'm okay with it. Okay, I'm fine. I'm happy. Content. Right? So, but if he protests in such a way that he does it in a public way, that for all logical reasons, Rami should hear about it. So then he's posted sufficiently. You can't tell me he was quiet. He wasn't. He said it publicly. He fully expected Rami to know. He was happy to say it to Rami's face. He did everything to make sure Rami didn't hear. That's not his problem. The point of Macha is to see whether or not Andrew was okay with Rami living there. He wasn't. He wasn't. So, if he wasn't okay, then what? Then he wasn't okay. Which proves he wasn't quiet. Which proves that it's his. That's it. Okay. Why, if you wanted to justify the opposite position, which I know you don't like, Rami, then why would you say, no, you actually have to hear it? I think there's only one way to justify this, which is? No, I don't think that, because you really said it publicly. You just happened not to hear it. I think there's a much neater way, which is, remember, we've seen one formulation here, which is that the only point of 3 years is what? To run out the clock. So that, meaning, remember, we saw several formulations who said, look, Bikaron Chazaka happens after 1 day or after 1 year. Right? Why do we wait 3 years? Because until 3 years, since Rami is expected to hold on to his shtar, since the squatter is supposed to hold on to his shtar, the fact that you didn't hold on to your shtar is a point against you. Right? But really, if it weren't for that fact, then Chazaka would be created immediately or after a year, simply because you controlled the land. Remember we saw that formulation? Right, from the Ritva and the Ramban maybe, right? If that's the case, then you might be able to justify this position, which is to say, look, if you hold that Chazaka, the very fact that Rami is sitting on the land, gives him ownership of the land, maybe even immediately, it's just that as long as he should be holding onto his shtar, the fact that he doesn't have it creates a counterproof, right? So then... if it can be shown that Rami didn't hear, then Rami has an excuse why he didn't hold on to the shtar, which means we revert to the power of Chazaka without the undermining factor, which is, why didn't you hold on to your shtar? Memelo, the Chazaka says. Right? I think that's basically the only way to justify that type of formulation. Okay, now there was a lot more here in the Gemara, but let's maybe focus on Ezra. Let's see how he's feeling. I heard you weren't feeling well post vaccine headache, I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. I figured we would finish off Machad today anyways, because, you know, this week we can do Purim, and we got delayed on Thursday anyways. So you're here for the last point. It's okay. I hope you're feeling better. Okay, good. Okay, good. It wasn't a super long share. We've been going for like half an hour. You can listen to the recording. Okay, so let's just do the last point then. Okay? Like I said, I asked you guys to go through the whole Gemara in the middle. I hope you went through it. We'll deal, I guess, after Purim with the Lashon Hara part of it. I'm thinking what we're going to do as follows. I want to talk, I think, for the next 2 to 3 days on different issues in Purim Mishulash, right? Because I know Yaakov's problem is, which is, if we're going to talk about Chagim, we shouldn't do things we always do. But since Purim Mishulash hasn't happened since I was in yeshiva, right, the chances that you ever talked about it are unlikely. I mean, yeah, I was talking to Shmuel David. Shmuel David got the new Rav Rimon book, Rav Yosef Shmuel Rimon book on Purim Mishulash, Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos. I have the original, like from Tavshin Samach Hei, or whatever it was, right? And he, in it, it has the Zmanim for all the next Purim Mishulash, Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos. And there hasn't been one since then, till now. Like, I have it in the back of the book, but like there's like a decade and a half where we didn't have this. We do have another one apparently in 4 years.
In
4 years.
Okay, so right
what? But we haven't had one in a very, very long time, if I got it right. It's been a very long time. But whatever. So, therefore, there's no reason to expect that you guys know the sugya, so that's great. That's great for me. I think he even just copied, I saw he copied like pages from Rimon's book for his guys. And then I'm thinking that after we do the Lashon Hara things, we'll spend a few days on that, just lightly. I won't make you break your teeth over all the Rishonim, I don't think. Maybe over some. Maybe I'll make you read the Chafetz Chaim. Maybe I'll do that. And you can try reading a single piece in the Chafetz Chaim. Good luck. It's really hard. They're also interesting figures, right? Because Purim Mishulash always goes with Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos, there's also fascinating figures in Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos, which you probably haven't done, because it has been so long since this happened. Well, I'm dreading it. Okay! I really hate it. You have no idea. You have no idea. I just hate it. It's so bad. What? Yeah, my father, I was talking to my father, and he was like, you know, it happens so rarely, and he's like, do you remember that time? He didn't have to finish his sentence. I'm like, yes. I remember that time like 25 years ago when I was like 6 or 7 years old, when like my grandmother came for Purim and it was snowing. There was a blizzard on Purim, on a Friday Purim. I mean, it was like everything that could have gone wrong. I mean, you have like no time, and my mother had to like work, so like you know, a few hours to like get things done, hear the Megillah, drive through snow to get out your few, I mean, you know. Yeah. Look, Purim is so much more fun in Israel than it is in Chutz Lars just because of the weather. Like, in Toronto, like, I just didn't love Purim just because it was, like, snowy and negative 20 degrees. So Purim means schlepping the kids into the car, driving them, getting them out of the car to see people, getting them back in the car, right? Here, it means everyone walks around in beautiful spring weather in a parade of costumes. I'm like, that's a very different experience, right? It's like, I hate being in the car all day. It's torture. So that's my plan anyways. Okay, so let's just do one last thing, I guess. And that is, what is the language of the Macha? So, the Gemara, I said, hey, Gavi, how, the sofer thing was, it worked? Okay, fine. So the Gemara had said that if Andrew just says, Rami, you thief, that does not count as a chazaka. Planya gazlanehu lo havi macha. But if he says, Planya gazlanehu dinokat li arai begazlanuta lo machar tavana le vadina, but if he says, Rami is a thief, because this is my land, and tomorrow I'm going to take him to court, just so you know, as soon as this headache from the vaccine ends, I am taking him to court. But right now, I am going to stay in bed until I can do that. Right? But tomorrow, I'm going to take him to court. Javier Macha, that counts. Yeah? One second. So this is, I didn't end up giving you all the makaras on it, but I just wanted to tell you it outside. So obviously, what you get from the Gemara, clearly if he just says, you thief, everyone agrees, that's not a macha. Why is that not a macha?
Well, because
Because you have no idea. What did he steal? He stole his kiwi field? Or he stole his water bottle? Or he stole his Gemara? Or he stole his cookies? Or he stole his ice cream? Or he stole his Netflix password? I don't know. Right? He stole his Chiddush and wrote it down and published a Sefer, Chiddushei Harav Avram Ben whatever. I don't know. Right? I assume Rami stands for Avram, right? Yeah. Yes. Like that's what I thought. I think I have it on my sheet somewhere. Like you're, but whatever. And Andrew's like, you thief, it was my Chiddushim. I wrote Chiddushim on Maseches Para. I'm the expert in Taros. Fine. Rami's like, yes, that is exactly what happened. That is exactly it. What? Exactly. So everyone agrees. If you just say that, that doesn't work. Because what did you steal? I have no idea. You stole something. Great. But the question is what Rami asked. Is everyone agrees conceptually? You understand? Saying he stole something, that doesn't count. If he said he stole that kiwi field, does that work? I mean, the Gemara says, Rami stole my kiwi field, I'm taking it to court tomorrow. The question that we've shown him is that last part of it necessary? Everyone agrees you need to explain what he stole. But does he actually have to say, and I plan on taking him to court? Is that actually, does the Gemara actually mean that is essential or not? The Rashbam quotes two deyot about this, as does the Rush. Right? One deyot is, yes, you actually need to articulate that you plan on taking him to court. The other is, no, you just need, that's just like Lerauka de Milta. Right? But really, all you have to say is he stole this field. That's all. So what's the machlokas? Right? So one way of looking at it could just be, look, if you look at Macha'a as a formal complaint, a legal claim, so then you might say he must not just include the complaint, he has to include the legal part, which is, this is the beginning of my Taina in Beitin. Right, I plan on taking him to court, right? If you think that fundamentally that's what Macha'a is, it's the beginning of a formal critique in Beis Din, so you might say Macha'a works when you say, I am planning on taking him to court, I begin this case now. But if you say that all Macha'a does is show that you weren't silent, it's a very informal process, right? And again, we can go back on all the models that we talked about. Right? Why is it informal? You can really plug it into pretty much anything, so I don't want to go back through all of them. But you can see how some of the models are more formal, some are less. Right? Meaning, probably the Ktsos who thinks it's a takana, right? 3 years is a takana and you can break it with a macha'a, he might think that you need to say you're going to tie in bezin, because the whole thing is a takana and it has certain rules of what creates the chazak and certain rules of what breaks it down. Right? So maybe there everything's formal. Maybe, I don't know. Right? Maybe even Rabbeinu Yonah you would want to say this, right? That if it's because I know that I ran out of the clock such that the court won't accept my evidence, so I need to actually bring the court into it, and that's what breaks the chazak. I don't know. But if you think that no, like, more or less, chazak is created by the fact that he's silent. So all you need is him to say he's not silent. And that's it, right? He needs to explain why he thinks he stole it, but he doesn't have to initiate legal proceedings. I mean, he does if he wants to get Rami off his land. But Macha'a is just to establish that he wasn't silent, to make sure that Rami holds on to his shtar, etc., etc. So if that's the case, you probably would suffice with the Macha'a, even without that element that he's going to bring him to court as actually being part of the...
According to those who would say that you do have to bring him to court, because you don't...
I mean, if you don't bring him to court, so who's going to take you off the land?
It could be. You're right. It definitely could be.
Now, I'll just note that there are several places throughout the Gemara where the Gemara thinks that certain actions count as macha'a, even without macha. So then in each of those cases, you have to ask, is that, does that prove that macha isn't formal? Or are these considered formal? So for example, the Gemara in Daf Mem Bet says that if the Marakama, a year into Rami's Chazaka, if Andrew comes and sells it to Ezra, a year in, so the Gemara says that counts as a macha. Why? Because ein lecha mecha gedola mizu. What bigger protestation could you have than him pulling the rug under out from under Rami's feet and giving it to Ezra? Right? So on the one hand, you could say, aha, macha doesn't have to be formal. Or you could say, no, a formal sale is formal. Right? You could really swing it either way, however you wanted. You get other sugyas. So there's in the middle of Lamed Tet, Tosfos deals with the question of what about macha'a on paper? Right, you write it down rather than say it. That's an, you know, you could have. So does it work? And if you write such a star, does that have to be a formal star or not? So some Rishonim say it needs to be a full formal star. Tosfos says no, because Takana Chachamim Sheichashiv Eidiv Yelavada Chazaka BeEidiv Koldehu. So this doesn't need a full document. Macha just needs to be minimal. Once you have a minimal macha, it breaks the Chazaka. Right? Do you see a similar machlokas going on there?
Like, you say, like, get off
on Zoom. The sugya of Mashkanta touches on this. So there are a few sugyas that deal with it. So just to review, what we've talked about in Macha is the fact that at some level, the question of what is Macha cuts to the heart of the question of what is Chazaka, and more specifically, what is the relationship between Macha and Chazaka, right? Is Macha a Chazaka creator, right, or a Chazaka breaker? Right? And we've seen different models, right? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's the Chazaka maker, because it's the lack of eliciting a macha, which is what created the evidence necessary to create a Chazaka. In other models, no. The Chazaka is Muchzaku. So the Chazaka is the Takanas Chachamim, or Chazaka, or 3 years is just your time to run out the shtar, and macha just breaks it by making you hold on to the shtar, or forcing you to prove yourself, and if you can't prove yourself, so that undermines it, but really Chazaka stand by itself. And as part of this, we dealt with the question, Macha Shol Befana, Macha, right? Sorry, Macha Bechal Befana. So we dealt with the question, why does the Gemara ask about Macha Shol Befana, not Chazaka Shol Befana? So one possibility is, because Macha is what creates Chazaka, and therefore that's the same thing. That was Balamor, if you remember. Other Rishonim said, no, it really meant Chazaka, it's just for technicalities, Macha is more likely to be heard, or less likely to be heard, or however you want to see it. Then we dealt with the question of Micha Shelo Bifanov. Does it matter, would it change, Micha Bifanov, does it change if Rami is there? Does that mean maybe according to that you wouldn't even need two? Then we dealt with the question of two versus three. What does that tell you? Sahaduta, maybe Sahaduta is telling you it's for the court's sake, or is it for Rami's sake? Right, that was the Sugya Lamatet. We dealt with the question of, is the point of two Eidus Latiyum Adava or Eidus Raya? And maybe even the point of two is just to prove one, right? That was Tosfos Chiddush, right? That you don't really need two witnesses. The Shita holds the Machanis two, really holds Machanis one. You just need to prove that it once happened. So it's really one which is two versus three, right? Or two which is one versus three. Right? And that complexity. We dealt with the question of Safek, right? In the case of a Safek Machav, who's the burden of proof on, which again might come down to whether you think that Machav creates the Chazaka, in which case the lack of a proper provocation means there's no Chazaka, or it breaks the Chazaka, but the Chazaka already exists. So therefore a lack of a Machav allows the Chazaka to stand. We dealt now with the formality of the nusak of the macha. We dealt with the machogas Rashi Rashbam of what is macha befanav. Is it literally to your face or only in the city? Right, and what does that say? So those were all the issues we dealt with macha. There are others, but again, a lot of the middle sugi here on Lamed Tet is more about the Lashon Hara component of it. So we'll do that after, we'll return to that after Purim. And we'll do a little bit of Purim for the next few days. You okay with doing Purim Mishloach stuff, or did you want to do something else? Okay, fine. So let's do that.